In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The first reading is a reading from Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 46 responsively. Please read the bold print. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult, God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Behold, the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The second reading is from Romans 3, 19, 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effected through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. And what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Since we've marked the Protestant Reformation on the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church doors of Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517, we've commemorated this movement for a little over 500 years now. For over 500 years, the Lutheran understanding of the gospel has been to convey to the world a God who is gracious to a people who feel burdened by the notion of a God who might not be gracious, an understanding of themselves in which they might feel that they're not good enough for God's love, or that they can never be forgiven for anything they've done. The Lutheran Reformation seeks to offer a witness to counter that notion and that feeling. But just last month, the year 2022, someone had commented publicly on social media to me and said, "I feel so much fear about going to hell. I repent all the time, but I'm still afraid because of my hidden sins, etc." What I'm finding is that that's not an uncommon burden for people to have in our society today. I've encountered people leaving the faith altogether, and that's one of those things. They say that they are constantly in a state of anxiety that they won't receive God's eternal salvation. And that trauma takes a toll on people, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Perhaps some of us who might have been Lutheran Christians our whole life or for a long time now take for granted what it means to be justified, that it's not our work, but the work of Christ on the cross that has saved us and made us new. That we can trust in a God who's loving and forgiving, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and abounding in steadfast love. Of God who has promised to never let us go, and that death does not have the final mark or say on us. Many of us might understand that historical context and conflict of what sparked the Reformation of the 16th century. But we have to be vigilant to that burden that people carry with them today, because they are experiencing that, and it's not confined to one expression or denomination of Christianity in our world. People feel burdened. They're enslaved by a message that is contrary to the good news of Jesus Christ. Too many people in our society have manipulated the gospel. They've manipulated the use of music. They've manipulated the use of entertainment. They've manipulated cultural identity and politics to enslave people to a message filled with fear and not love, hate and not hope, a relationship with God whose love is conditional and not unconditional. And we need to offer our witness of a good and gracious God to counter that in the world. And on the other hand, we do live in a society that is oblivious to sin. Now, I do believe that that's in part because of how the concept of sin itself has been weaponized to control and harm people in our world. So for some to walk away from the faith entirely, I do not begrudge them. I hold those who hijack the gospel responsible for that. But we cannot be selective, and we tend to be. While some in our world are burdened by their sins, others are oblivious. And we might be better at seeing the sin of our neighbor than fail to look in the mirror and see our own sin. I know I am, right? So easy to see that speck of dust in all your eyes, but hard to see the plank that's in my own. In contrast to those who feel burdened, there are many who believe they don't have a problem. We're not enslaved to anyone. They only see the problem of sin in those people, those peoples that they don't like, and conveniently don't see it in themselves. or make certain sins into such an idol that they're passionately against, that we can neglect other things in the world that are a product of sin as well. So I can see it in them, but I won't see it in those people that I do like. Right? What kind of witness is that? People see right through that. They see that inconsistency. And that kind of approach, that kind of witness, will make people oblivious to sin. They don't take us seriously in being concerned for God's love for the world and how people are truly harmed and oppressed. They can see that we're more wrapped up in our own judgment of the world as opposed to God's love for it. So without a strong witness to God's grace in the world, while taking and not taking seriously the sin of the world at the same time, there are those who feel helpless and there are those who feel spiritually homeless. So the reality in our world today, in 2022, I believe that the Reformation witness of the Lutheran movement is still valid. There is help for those who are burdened, who feel that God's love is conditional and are burdened by their own sin. There is a home for those who have left churches filled with a weaponized message of Christianity. They can find home and welcome here. For in Jesus we are born anew in the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus, the Word made flesh. And when we continue in the Word, as Jesus says in our gospel lesson today, we continue to dwell in Christ. The scriptures, the traditions of the church enable us to continue in the living and abiding Word of God, Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit gathers us as church together, we are reminded of the home that we have with the Word of God. That word of forgiveness, that word of promise, that word that comes to us in the gifts of bread and wine, we are made new in that living and abiding Word, and we continue in this Word and in that good news that each of us have a home with God right now. That we are made free in Christ right now. And we trust in that promise that the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is and has the final Word. If this is good news, you hear this and this is good news to you, and what God has done for you brings joy to your life, then share that joy. Share that love with others, because you don't know how many people are out there that feel spiritually helpless or spiritually homeless. And I can assure you, it's more people than you think. Now, in our gospel lesson, we hear that word truth. And I believe in our Western ears that we hear that word truth and it's like, well, that means we have to have this monopoly on truth or we have to have it all figured out. Folks, we wouldn't be commemorating a Reformation from the 16th century if we have any sense that the church could ever have it all figured out. Right? There is a phrase, Ecclesia semper reformata, the church must always be reformed. We acknowledge that the church is always reforming, and that should be quite liberating and freeing, that we do not or will not have it all figured out, that the Holy Spirit continues to guide us as we seek to passionately understand what it means to be faithful, what it means to be faithful to God and to God's church and in the world. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree either, by the way. That there's going to be differences of opinion and understanding as we discern where God is calling us. Just open your Bibles. Read Acts of the Apostles. There's disagreements from the beginning, right? That's simply the nature of the church. We gather together as community and we discern how to be faithful and bear witness to God's love in the world. The need to have it all figured out, to draw hard lines over different understandings and disagreements, has led to visible division, a scandal in our witness, and even the dehumanizing and dismissing of fellow Christians as being Christian. Now, over the summer, I spent a day in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and I went to the seminary campus. I went to Gettysburg Seminary, and there's a relatively new museum on that campus. And some don't realize that it was a Lutheran seminary during the Civil War. And so there are some interesting exhibits about the Civil War through the lens of faith. It's a reminder of how divided Christians were on the question of slavery during that time. We might think of our disagreements and divisions today as insurmountable. Imagine being a Christian during the time of the Civil War. It's a reminder that churches are always deliberating something in every era, in every part of the world. There was one exhibit that said, "What does the Bible say?" And there were Bible verses that were used to support slavery, and there were Bible verses that used to support the abolishment of slavery. And in that exhibit, there was a quote from Abraham Lincoln that read, "Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God. In every era, we will seek to be faithful and discern the issues that confront the church and society of that day. There will be disagreements among churches and within churches. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us along that way and will continue to lead to our embodiment of God's liberating love, that in the end would prevail in our witness and ministry." Even in that exhibit, there were, I think, it listed like three denominations, Lutheran, Methodist, Lutheran, and Presbyterian. And when some of them had splits during the time of the Civil War, and it wasn't until the 1900s where they could get back together, right? Our unity is at the foot of the cross, folks. It's not grounded in our agreements and disagreements. It's at the foot of the cross. That's where we look to. And in our congregation this weekend, we will receive new members that we give thanks to God, that they will continue to share their witness in the world, and we rejoice that they'll be living out their discipleship in this community of faith, and that they will add to our discernment and conversation in how we can continue to be faithful in the church and the society in which we live in. Now, going back to those people who feel burdened in our society, all of this should give us a bit of breathing room here, because it comes down to feeling that we can't have it all figured out. We cannot make a mistake. But there's grace, folks, because we're not going to have it all figured out. We're going to make mistakes. Continuing in the Word means that we're invited into the abyss and depth of God's love and truth. Right? You're not going to have Jesus all figured out. Those of you who have been married for decades, you don't have your spouse figured out, do you? Right? I'm serious, right? You don't have your kid. You can spend a lifetime and not figure out the closest people in your lives. I'm still trying to figure myself out, right? It's the depth of love that Jesus invites us to here in continuing the Word. We continue in that Word and we're reminded over and over of God's promise. And that promise is not contingent. It's not conditional on what you do. It's not contingent on your works or accomplishments. It's not contingent on how you vote or where you stand on the issues of the day. It's not dependent in you having it all figured out or doing everything right 100% of the time. The promise is unconditionally grounded in God's love for each and every one of us and all of God's creation, period. It's a promise poured out for us by God's amazing love on the cross. The promise made for us by the one who became homeless so that each of us could have an eternal home. The promise made by the one who became a slave so that we could be freed from all that enslaves us in the world. That's the witness of the Reformation in the 16th century that's still relevant today. For we are saved by grace through faith, and our faith is in the one who is faithful all the way to the cross. It's a relevant witness in the world where people are wondering if they're good enough to be loved by God, or they have questions of whether or not a loving God can exist in a broken world, in a world that's oblivious to its own sin and how it's harming people. We carry out into the world a good news for people to hear and to receive, that the cross in and of itself is a witness of how much God loves us and how much God wants to be in relationship with us, that we are invited to share that love in the world, to be the healing hands of Christ in the world as the body of Christ. The good news is that we can point to the reality of sin in the world while not burdening people with that reality, because we point to the cross. We point to the freedom that we follow the way of the one who is love in this broken world, who has made and will make all things new, that we pray will one day will be on earth as it is in heaven. Let us cling to that promise today. Let us cling to that witness that it is by grace we've been saved, not by what we do, but by this amazing gift that comes from God. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite forward Bob Franks and Kelly Culler.
We were supposed to receive into membership today also Audrey Hodge, who got COVID earlier this week, and Paul Culler got called into work this morning. So, dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for these people one with us in the body of Christ who is making public affirmation of their baptism.
I present Kelly Culler and Bob Franks, who desire to make public affirmation of their baptism.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for this brother and sister, whom you have made your own by water and the word and baptism. You called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gift and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ.
Amen. Receive this creed as a reminder of the faith of the church.
I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in
the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support this brother and sister and pray for them in their life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth. Cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Kelly and Bob the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever.
Amen.
You guys want to face the congregation? Let us receive this brother and sister in Christ. Let us give thanks to God for what God continues to do in them and what they will continue to do in our faith community and in the world. We continue with the hymn of the day.
I pray to have been saved.
Saturday only.
In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. God, our fortress, we pray for the church. Write your law of love on the hearts of your people, that we remain steadfast in our witness to your grace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those in the ministry, Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our liberator, we pray for your earth, bringing life to overused land and contaminated rivers. We reform and reorient our relationship with the environment. We faithfully care for all of your creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our refuge and strength, we pray for the nations. Where they are in an uproar, bring wise leadership and comfort for those in distress. Make wars to cease and peace to enter every land. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our very present help in trouble, we pray for those in need. Show mercy to refugees and all fleeing from danger. Shelter any without home. Calm all who are facing illness, surgery, or new diagnosis. Especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Andrea, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Regina, Barb, Gary, Phyllis, Ella, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Connie, and our home mom. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our Redeemer, we pray for your congregation. Bless all who are preparing for baptism or affirmation of baptism. Open their hearts to your Holy Spirit. Teach them your word and give them courage to proclaim their faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Luke, and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our stronghold, we give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith, especially Martin Luther and all reformers. Renew and reform us as we strive to continue in your word. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of the resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great High Priest until he comes as a victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I invite our communion assistants to come forward and anyone participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that'll be offered on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. The body of Christ given for you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Just one brief announcement. We do have some food and fellowship and celebrating the new members that we've received today, so please stick around for that. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you. peace. Serve the Lord.